My mother, when I was a child, my mother used to give me tobacco. Or sometimes she would give me a pot of coffee and some empty cups. Or sometimes she would give me a sack of biscuits. And she would say, go down there by the river. The old men are there. They're probably playing dominoes or cards or checkers. Bring your gift to them. Sit and listen. They will talk.
As a young boy, Victor Mandan spent many hours listening to the stories told by his elders. Though the old men may have teased him at the time, Victor would become a keeper of the Mandan stories.
So I would show up with whatever I happened to have that particular day, and they would say, he's here again. And then they'd say, yeah, well, tell him something. And the other one would say, you tell him something. I told him something yesterday. I'm all out of stories. You tell him something. They would carry on like that for a while, and finally one of them say, well, you know, I think I remember one. Then they would go ahead and tell me.
Today, Victor Mandan shares a bit of the ancient history of the Mandan people and raises some intriguing ideas about the relationship of the horse to early people.
As they traveled, they had two little friends with them. Well, they were almost identical, except their behavior was different. One of them barked and ate anything that they threw out, rotten meat, bad soup, whatever they threw, this little critter ate it. And they called him Mushuga, or dog. And the other one ate grass, and they fed him leaves. Now, he was a vegetarian. And they put packs on his back also, and he helped the people to move. And they had another slightly different name for him, but basically it meant that he ate only grass. And as they moved up the Mississippi and up into the branches of it, they had these two animals. One day, the camp crier got all the people in the village to come to the edge of the village, and he said, our little friend is leaving us. And one of the two was standing on the edge of the woods, and he told the people, he said, do not cry, for I will return. And when I come back, he said, I will be much changed, and you will not know me. But those who keep the stories will know who I am. Remember, I'm the one who eats the grass. He said, when I come back, I will be tall as a man, and swift as the wind. He said, I will be strong to carry much on my back, maybe two or three men, or maybe heavy packs, but I will come back, and I will be gone for a while. Don't forget me. The people cried. They begged him not to go, but he said he had to go. They accused each other of perhaps not feeding him enough, giving him enough water. Did somebody overload him the last time he worked? Did he have to work too hard? They said, no, we never overloaded him. Always give him a lot of water and a lot of food. Good to him. But still, he was going to leave. And so, he left. He left, and they never had him anymore. But they had the other one, the one they called Dog. And he helped. And they moved up the river. Finally, after many thousands of years, two hunters out on the plains seen a strange animal, and they were afraid. It was something they had never seen before. And they ran home to the village and they asked. They said, we've seen a strange animal and we don't know what to make of it. So they were asked, did it have horns? And they said, no. How many legs did it have? Oh, it had four legs. Did it have fur or feathers? It had fur. What was he doing? No, he was out on the prairie grazing. Oh, okay. But still, they didn't know, so they sent them to another village. And they didn't get no answer there. And in the third village, there was a storykeeper said, I think I know what you saw. I think you seen the one who eats the grass. Said, if that is him, He is our friend. Do not kill him. Go to him and be his friend and bring him back. So they were loaded down then with pemmican. They were loaded down with dried corn, berries, corn balls. All they had to do was to run, and every once in a while, perhaps, when they came to a stream, drink a little water and go on, because they had a big supply of food. So these two hunters returned out to the plains, found what they were after, and they followed them. Horses must stop and eat. These men didn't have to. Eventually, the horses moved slower and slower, and the men got closer and closer. And eventually, the men had their hands on these animals. And after many weeks, they rode back into the village riding on horses and driving a small herd in front of them. And then the Mandan had horses. I was told this story in the 1940s by men who had never been to school, men who did not speak English, men who could still remember pre-reservation days, old men. So I just put that thought in my memory and thank them for a nice story. And then one day in 1961 or 62, I was at Lawrence, Kansas for a graduation. I went up to the University of Kansas, and there they had a museum of natural history. And I seen this little fellow in a glass case. They called him Eohippus, early horse. And he stood there about the size of a dog. And I just stood there with goosebumps all over me, just looking at that. And I thought, how old are my people? Because that animal had disappeared from the face of this continent some 30,000 years ago, according to the scientists who study bones.
Victor Mandan is a musician and storyteller living in South Dakota. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom of the Elders. If you'd like to learn more about any of the stories or music you hear in our program, visit us on the web at wisdomoftheelders.org. Thank you, horse people, for all you have done through the generations. Your untiring spirit, willingness to friendship, your loyal, free, and proud ways. Without you, we surely would have suffered more. Upon you, we have traveled with the wind, and with courage together, we rode into danger again and again. Cannon overhead, bullets whistling by, so many gave your life with us, gave your life for us. You are our spirit brother and spirit sister. We will remember you in songs and dances. And when we see one of us who has such courage, leadership, love for the people, we will decorate you once again, paint you in the old way, telling stories of our journeys together, pile you high with blankets and treasures, decorate you with beads and flowing cloth, and gift you, for in your heart you carry our stories, prayers, and dreams. Thank you, horse people, for all you have done through the generations, your untiring spirit, willingness to friendship, your loyal, free, and proud ways. I'm Arlie Neskai, Hakuna, till we meet again.
Wisdom of the Elders is produced in Portland, Oregon, with funding provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail, National Park Service, and Spirit Mountain Community Fund, Grand Ronde, Oregon. Learn more about the people and music you hear on Wisdom of the Elders, purchase educational material, or make a contribution to fund programming on our website at wisdomoftheelders.org. Discover the growing network of Indigenous oral historians, storytellers, and song carriers. visit the Turtle Island Storytellers Network at turtleislandstorytellers.net. Executive producer of Wisdom of the Elders is Rose Hybear. Co-producers Clark Salisbury and William Ward. Script editor and director Larry Johnson. Writer Anne Morin. Our theme music is by music director Nico Wind. Field producer Jerry Miller at KISU Radio in Pocatello, Idaho. Website assistance from Clark Salisbury, Kara Briggs, and Rebecca Freeman. Educational materials by Larry McClure. Distribution manager Richard Fonseca. Legal advisor Judd Carrison. Special thanks to Native American Public Telecommunications and American Indian Radio on satellite.